Hi, I'm Wendy Zukerman, and you're listening to Shots of Science Verses. Today on the show, we are talking about what is perhaps the wildest and most bizarre psychedelic drug, DMT. It's the active ingredient in an ayahuasca brew. But smoked or injected, this molecule, DMT, it gives you a super intense, but also super short-acting trip. It's usually done and dusted inside 15 minutes. And recently, scientists have started to wonder whether DMT, like other psychedelic drugs out there, you know, magic mushrooms and ketamine, might actually be used as a medicine to help people with things like depression. And they've started doing clinical trials on DMT to find out. Joel Werner, supervising producer at Science Verses, caught up with Graham Campbell and Michelle Baker-Jones, a psychiatrist and a therapist who were involved in one of these DMT trials. And at first, they weren't very hopeful about the drug's potential in this space.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I suppose Graham and I were skeptical as to whether DMT would show promise.
I remember thinking that DMT is just going to be too strange. Too intense, too quick. You know, you hear this kind of classic narrative about, you know, hyperspace and alien entities. And I remember thinking, is this going to make sense to anybody? Is this going to actually provide experiences which are therapeutic and healing?
So yeah, Graham and Michelle were kind of skeptical about whether this would work. But hey, it's a job. And in this economy...
I think this is your best joke all season.
I don't know if that's a compliment. Okay. So okay. Trial details.
Yes, tell me about the trial.
So this trial had 34 people in it. They were all dealing with like moderate to severe depression.
Right.
Everyone in the trial had to wean themselves off their antidepressants if they were on them before the trial started. So it was kind of a big deal for people to actually participate.
Oh, yeah.
And Graham has this really vivid memory of the first person that they gave DMT to as part of the trial.
She was somebody who'd had 4.5 years of depression, pretty much continuously since the birth of her daughter. And she'd never had any drug experiences before, but she was incredibly tearful and distressed. It was very, very clear that her mood was incredibly low. And, you know, that led her to sort of feel a bit disconnected from her role as a mother. So when she had the DMT experience, for her, it was incredibly intense and it felt very visceral. And as it was intensifying, you know, over the first 10, 15 minutes, she got to a point where she felt that she was reduced to something very, very small. Just a sort of fragment of herself was remaining, and that she was going to disappear into some kind of void. And she suddenly realized that she liked herself and that she didn't want to disappear. And that was very, very profound for her to actually come to that realization. And her depression, you know, she was free of depression for the rest of the trial and all the follow-ups.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, but not everyone had this kind of shimmeringly beautiful experience.
Right, right.
So one guy, he was like a super high achiever, went to a top university, had this really stressful, high-powered job. He was dealing with a lot of depression and anxiety, and when he had the DMT, he had this trip experience where this kind of weird entity devoured him.
But in a very indifferent way. And I think that the thing that was so difficult for him was the indifference, you know, the casual indifference of this entity. And he did experience anxiety in the immediate aftermath of the psychedelic experience.
Being devoured indifferently. Oh man.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a traditional medicine.
It makes my skin crawl a little bit just trying to like imagine that experience.
Oh, absolutely. So so zooming out, there were some, what did you say, 34 people in the trial, mm-hmm, all had depression. How many ended up getting better?
Yeah, so at the 6-month follow-up after getting the DMT, 10 people, including the mum that we heard from, were no longer depressed. They were in remission.
Wow.
But what's a bit disappointing is that 9 people didn't turn up for the 6-month follow-up, so we just don't know what happened to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But still, 10 got better. I mean, I guess some of them might have gotten better anyway, but still, it's not bad, right?
Yeah, and we do have some other data, right? So there was this other study out of Yale. It was very small. So seven people with treatment-resistant depression got DMT. And the next day, on average, their depression scores dropped as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're getting like sprinklings of data here. That's DMT. Do we have anything on ayahuasca? Like what happens when you take the whole brew?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of studies where people have filled out surveys about their ayahuasca experience, and these surveys suggest that ayahuasca could be useful in treating depression and anxiety, but also substance abuse problems. And sometimes people report dealing with really intense trauma with an ayahuasca ceremony. But these are all people who have like chosen to go on these ayahuasca retreats, right? So there's probably a bit of a selection bias happening.
Right, and then speaking of selection bias, what about our old friend, the placebo? I mean, people are choosing to go to the jungle, choosing to vomit everywhere. You know, there's got to be a whole lot of expectation that this is gonna help them. How do we know that's not what's going on here?
Yeah, so I found one randomized placebo-controlled trial of ayahuasca, and this was in treatment-resistant depression, so people who'd been trying a lot to help with their depression and hadn't found anything that worked.
Okay.
They had 29 patients who got a single dose of either ayahuasca or a placebo.
Mm.
I love this so much. They brewed an ayahuasca placebo that looked and tasted like this brew.
Yes.
Like right down to right down to the bitter, sour taste and the brownish color. They even added in some zinc sulfate to produce, quote, low to modest gastrointestinal distress.
Okay. So how did it go?
So they followed up 1 week after receiving the dose and they found there was a very strong placebo effect. So tick to the scientists, the little placebo brew they made did the job. But the people who got the real stuff, the people who got the ayahuasca did better.
Uh-huh.
So about 2/3 of those who got ayahuasca felt the severity of their depression drop by 50% or more.
2/3, that's not bad.
It's pretty good because in the placebo group, there's only 1/4 could say the same thing.
Great. That is promising.
Yeah, totally. It's quite promising. But what none of these trials get at is how it's having this effect. And I wanted to know what was going on in the brain.
Of course you did. Your brain
giving
nerd.
These trials the results.
I want to know too, because it doesn't make sense. You see some aliens, even you see yourself get smaller and your depression's healed.
Totally. And to figure that out, I caught up with this guy.
My name's David Olson. I'm the director of the Institute for Psychedelics and Neurotherapeutics at the University of California, Davis.
So David's trying to figure out how our brain cells might be changing when they get exposed to DMT and how this might be helping people with depression. But to do this work, you can't do it in people. You've got to give the DMT to rats. So the rats like get the DMT, they have their little ratty trip, they live their life for 24 hours and then they sacrifice their lives for science. Well, we chop up their brains to see what's going on in them.
Right.
So David's taking slices of these rat brains, and for the neuro nerds out there, the areas of the brain he's working in are the prefrontal cortex and the hippocampus. And he's trying to figure out what's happening to the brain cells after they interact with DMT. Okay, so analogy time. Brain cells look like trees.
Yes.
Stick with me. So
no,
like,
they do. They actually do.
The axon is like the trunk.
Yes.
And then the branches, the bits that communicate with the other brain cells, those branches are called the dendrites.
It turns out that neurons look so much like trees that we actually use the term arbor to describe their dendritic branches.
It's very poetic.
Yeah, like sometimes science is super complicated and sometimes it's just saying what you see in front of you.
Yeah.
So like when some people have, say, depression, their canopies, instead of being densely filled with lots of branches, like bushy, bushy trees, they look kind of barren.
So if you prune back those branches and you lose all the leaves, so it looks like wintertime and the arborist has come by, that's what a lot of brain disorders look like.
And what David and his team are doing is giving rats either DMT or placebo and then counting the leaves on those branches.
we had to do some very painstaking experiments where we were under the microscope for, I don't know how many hundreds of hours, manually tracing these dendrites and counting these dendritic spines. And you're just doing this thousands and thousands of times over. And, you know, one of my graduate students basically locked himself in a dark closet for weeks at a time so that he could trace all of these neurons manually.
And what David and his team found is that, like, after they'd been exposed to DMT, the brain cells were healthier. Like, there were more leaves on the branches of their trees.
What DMT seems to do is to act like Miracle-Gro in a lot of ways. It promotes the growth of the branches and the leaves start sprouting again so that the canopy can be a lot fuller than it was.
That's really cool. And so if this plays out in people, like people with depression, is the idea that if they have this like bare canopy with now more leaves in it, they themselves will be healthier?
Totally. Bushier trees, healthier brain is the idea, which is really interesting because for ages, scientists have been trying to figure out whether like the subjective experience of going on one of these psychedelic trips, like all of the weird stuff that you see, whether that was what was really doing the heavy lifting in terms of these drugs being therapeutic.
Right.
Or if something else was going on. But then,
when we saw that there was physical changes in the structure of the brain, we thought that there might be this alternative explanation.
And so even though David's study was being done in rats, he's pretty confident that like what he's seeing in these rodents is happening in humans as well. Because like this mechanism of growing leaves, it doesn't just happen with DMT, it happens with other psychedelics as well. And it even happens with antidepressants like SSRIs because they have this effect. So they cause the leaves, new leaves, to grow on the branches of the brain cells.
Right.
But as anyone who's taken antidepressants would know, they're no businessman's trip, right? Like they take weeks or even months to kick in.
But a psychedelic, you can take a single dose and see large changes in growth within 24 hours. And then that effect can be sustained for several weeks. And that is really the difference between psychedelics and more traditional antidepressants.
To find out more about DMT, you've got to head over to our main feed because what you're listening to now is just shots of science verses. It's just a little trip of DMT. But if you want to go the whole nine yards, learn all you can about this amazingly weird drug, then you've got to search for Science Verses in whatever podcast app you're using. So Science VS and click on our episode, Ayahuasca, WTF is up with DMT. It works better when it's written, WTF is up with DMT. Go check it out. I'm Wendy Zukerman. Back to you next time.